We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
For so many people, and we care about him. We want God to lift up him and his mom and the rest of his family. And let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, be with Marshall, our friend. God, in Jesus' name, I want you to touch his heart. I want you to touch his life right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, minister to his health, minister to his mind, minister peace, minister comfort to him. Lord, in Jesus' name, we're so sorry for his loss, God. Lord, we are so thankful, though, that where we are, you are, and where he is, you are. God, you are in the room with him, and we pray blessing and comfort to him and his family in the name of Jesus. We want you to know that we have a card out there. We will be sending flowers to the service. We want you to take that card and write him love in that card, okay? You just write the most loving message to him that you can following service. Thank you so much. We are about to receive our tithes offerings. Come on up. If you need a giving envelope or a pen, just flag down our usher right there. Ackley will be happy to help you. I have the pleasure of speaking to Matt Hadabaugh. He's a missionary to what country?
Lebanon,
absolutely, and they are so excited. They've been over in the States for a few weeks, and they are headed back to Lebanon. They couldn't wait to get there, so I asked him, what are some things that you want Redemption Church to know about? Here's one thing. They are getting ready to baptize a bunch of Syrian refugees. They are going to have a baptism service. Yeah, clap your hands for that. Yeah, let's be loud. That's awesome news. On Easter, they're just going to have a mass baptism service. So be praying for that. Isn't that awesome? They've already got a number of people they're going to be baptizing. I want God to just double it, triple it. Wouldn't that be awesome? And the other thing he wants us to pray about is leadership. He is trying to raise up leaders because a few people can't do it on their own. They need leaders to be leading small group ministries, to be teaching Bible studies, to be planting more churches. You got to have leaders to do that. So we're going to pray for them right now, okay? As we are taking up our offerings, I want to remind you that we give because you've given. And we are able to bless Lebanon. We are able to bless other ministries because you have been so faithful in your giving. So we're going to pray for Lebanon, and we're going to also pray over your giving. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for everybody's giving. Thank you, Lord, for their sincerity. Thank you, Lord, for their generosity. Thank you, Lord, God, that in a world of materialism, we are standing up and we are returning thanks to the Lord for all he's given us. Father, in Jesus' name, I want you to bless everyone in this house. If they have to give, if they don't have to give, I still want you to bless them and lead them and do wonderful things in their life. Father, Lord, we thank you for the Hadabaugh family. We thank you for Lebanon. Lord, we thank you for every Syrian refugee. Lord, we thank you for every person that's receiving the gospel over there. It is so awesome and wonderful. And God, we are believing, God, for you to double and triple those baptisms in the name of Jesus. Everyone said in Jesus' name and clapped your hands to thank the Lord. Let's do that. Let's receive our offering. Thank you so much for your giving. Remember to keep Pastor Marshall in your prayers. We love that dude. We absolutely love that dude. I wish I could give him the biggest hug right now. I wish I could be with him right now. I understand that he's going through so much pain. So you be with him in spirit. The Bible says to mourn with those that mourn, to rejoice with those that rejoice. You need to carry that mourning that he's feeling, carry that in your heart and pray for your care, Pastor, all right? We love that dude. All right. Hello, Redemption Church, and hello to everyone watching, listening online. Greetings from the beautiful city of Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to be sharing the Word of God with you yet again. I'm so thankful for every time we're able to do that. We are in the final week of our Greater Than series. 4 weeks. This is the fourth week. It's the last one. I want to remind you that no one searches for lesser things. Everyone searches for greater things. Our world is constantly searching for greater, always searching. and our world has a hierarchy, a system for assigning value. Can you remind me what that hierarchy is? It's three things: sex, money, and power. Sex, money, and power. And whether the world likes to admit it or not, they show us by their actions that they value sex, money, and power above everything. They think that nothing is greater than sex, money, and power. And we've talked about that these last few weeks. In week one, we told you that there was something greater than sex. What was it? Love is greater than sex. In week two, we told you that there was something greater than money. What's greater than money? Love. Love is greater than money. All right, y'all following a pattern here? What? In week three, we told you that something was greater than power. What's greater than power? Love is greater, all right? And reminder, God is love. Are you searching for greater is what I want to talk to you about today. Can you look at somebody and just say, hey, are you searching for greater? Are you looking for it? Are you hungry for it? If there is greater available, is it something that you want today? Our world has this hierarchy, but there is something greater than what the world values. So are you searching for this greater thing? We're going to hit a bunch of scripture. You run with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. This is a great verse. This is such an absolutely powerful and usable verse. This verse teaches us a lot. It tells us that there are two kinds of spirits. Do you see that? There are two kinds of spirits. You can place all spirits, and there's all kinds of spirit. There's one uppercase spirit that's the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, right? But then that's not the only spirit. Every person has a spirit, and there are demonic spirits, there are angelic spirits, there are all kinds of spirits, but you can divide all these spirits into two groups. You can put them into two camps, and here they are. They are either Antichrist or they are pro-Christ. They are either against Christ or they are for Christ. Do you see that in this verse? All right, so they either acknowledge Christ or they disavow Christ and deny Christ. I want to tell you that Christ is the center of all things. He is the center of the spiritual world. All the spirits are lined up, focused on him. They are either fighting for him or against him. That is, he is the center of all things. When you are worshiping Jesus Christ, you are worshiping the one who is the center of all things, who created all things. He's a big deal. He's everything. I wish I had a church that would clap for that. Would you clap for that, Jesus, in this place? Isn't he awesome? Isn't he wonderful? And shouldn't we be excited about that? We're worshiping the one that's greater than all things. It is all right to be excited about that. You get excited about lesser things all the time, right? And so we talk about the Antichrist every once in a while, and usually when you say Antichrist, it's like the room gets quiet and everybody's like, they're talking about the Antichrist. I wonder who he is, right? This tells us that the spirit of the Antichrist has already been here and is already here right now. So don't waste your time trying to think of who the Antichrist is, because the spirit of the Antichrist is already active. Not to scare you, here's what you do in light of that information. Make sure you are pro-Christ. Make sure you acknowledge Christ. Make sure you love Christ. Make sure you listen to Christ. And you are defeating the Antichrist. You are opposite of him, and he won't know what to do with you. All right, moving on. Verse 4, the very next verse. You, dear children, are from, say it, God. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Them? Who's them? Come, work with me. Who's them? The spirits that are anti-Christ. The spirits that disavow him. You have what? It says overcome him. You are from God and you have overcome. Notice this is past tense right here. It doesn't say one day you will overcome him, Dean. It says you have already overcome him because you are of God. Is that a big deal or what? Let me tell you, there's all these scary movies in Hollywood about the devil running around, and everybody's like, oh my goodness, it's the devil. And they never know what to do in those movies at all. It just looks hopeless, and that there's nothing they can do because the big, bad devil's stomping around, and there's like these really weak ministers in those things. They're like, oh, I just don't know what to do. I'm not going to walk inside that house. Because you've seen these movies, right? I'm telling the truth. It's like they'll clutch their, oh, I'm never going into that house. Diablo, right? I'm not going to do it, right? Listen, you have already overcome them. You have already showed them up. You've already defeated them because you are of God. Is that some good news or what? My goodness. Reading on. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It said that the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world, but the one that is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. The one that is where? Inside of you. Who is this one? It is the Lord God Almighty. It is Jesus Christ himself. It is the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. And it is, somebody say, greater than. Somebody shout it. It's greater than. Let me tell you, the devil knows that. He's hoping you don't live that out. He's hoping that you don't believe your Bible and try that on. He's hoping that you don't go around and say, there's somebody sick, in Jesus' name be healed. He's hoping you don't come with somebody who's suicidal and say, in the name of Jesus, you can be set free. He doesn't know what else to do. He's fit to be tied, that devil. He doesn't know what to do. You've already overcome him. We are of a sleeping giant if we would just understand greater is already inside of us. You have overcome every Antichrist spirit by God because the one who's in you is greater than the one in the world. Jesus is greater. If Jesus is in you, then you have greater within you and you can overcome all evil. Do we really believe this? Yeah. Man, we need to. So, number one, do you believe Jesus is greater? Yeah. You got to believe that, right? If you don't believe Jesus is greater, just, number one, I don't know what you're doing with the Bible. Jesus is greater. That's number one. And number two, do you believe that he lives inside of you and that he empowers you? And if you believe those two things, man, that ought to change everything about your life. That ought to change everything about your world. If you really believe this, it ought to become noticeable in your life. It ought to become noticeable. It ought to be noticeable in your worship. You ever see somebody worship in such a way that goes, whoa, they must believe in God? How about somebody that prays in such a way that you just go, whoa, they believe that God hears them. They are full of faith. How about somebody that's so full of devotion? When you have greater in you, it ought to be noticeable in your worship, in your devotion, and in your prayer. It ought to be, okay? Y'all following me? It ought to be noticeable in your countenance. That means the look on your face. When you know Jesus is in you and he's greater than all things, that ought to put a big smile on your face. It ought to be noticeable. It ought to put a little pep in your step. It ought to put a little joy in your soul. Are you with me? Do you agree with that? My goodness. You listen to me. What if every Christian that had greater in them just started looking happy? Y'all have seen unhappy looking Christians, right? I'm going to tell the Golden Corral story. My dad's here. We were at a Golden Corral in Waco, Texas, and I saw a woman over there. She obviously went fellowshipped among some churches we knew, and he didn't see her before I did, so I noticed her immediately. He says, "Oh yeah, that she definitely is among that group that we're familiar with." And my dad says, "I think she's one of those Christians that goes down there." And I said, "Why is she frowning?" Because it was, you know, looking on her outward countenance was a frown. And too many Christians are not known for carrying their Bible. They're known for carrying a bad attitude. They're not known for carrying prayer. They're known for carrying bitterness. You following me? What if every Christian that had greater in them just started smiling like greater was in them? What if they came to work and started loving people like greater was in them? What if we did that? Let's do that. I'm talking about it being noticeable in your life. It ought to be noticeable in your courage. You ought to be able to stand up to giants because greater is he that's in you. It ought to be noticeable in your faith. You ought to have faith for God to do the impossible because you have greater. It should be noticeable to everyone that greater is within you because Jesus is inside of you. And Jesus always gets noticed. God promises that if you will walk with him, if you will be of the spirit that acknowledges him, greater things will be present in your life. It's throughout the Bible, but here's one major place in Deuteronomy chapter 11, 22 through 24. Look at these words here. If you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all of these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Now he's talking to a group of people that used to be slaves. They have never had a war in their life. They've not had an army in their life. And they are supposed to walk into this land and dispossess nations that are described as larger, stronger than them. How can you do that? Because you are following God and he is greater. And he is the one that everywhere you put your foot, he gives you that place. He gives you that land. I wonder, Christians, are we walking that way? Do you realize when you walk into that job interview, I dare you to just step that foot forward and say, Jesus is giving this to me right now. He's giving me victory as I take the steps. No, you don't have to like walk weird on your way to the job interview. No, just walk. Just walk. It's not like you have to take communion after every step. No, you're walking. And he said, everywhere you put your feet, I'm giving it to you. Young people, you ought to walk into your schools and just claim your friends. You ought to just walk into your schools and claim that you're going to succeed in your school. That you're going to succeed and grow in knowledge and actually get good grades. How about that? Look at this verse. Everybody knows this one. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things who gives me strength. Do you understand that the one that gives you strength has all strength? Right? I don't mean to put myself down so much, but if I were giving you my strength, it might help. But, like, you need me to move a refrigerator? No, you probably want Randy to give you his strength on that one. I'll be there and tell people when to pivot, stuff like that. We're talking about the one who has all strength, and you can do all things through him who gives you strength. You understand me? Does that sound greater? John 14:12 says this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus says that if you believe in him, and does he mention a whole lot of other things? Does he put a whole laundry list of things you have to do? If you believe in me and also you give $1 million. No. If you believe in me and you take a vow of hunger for a year and are able to live. No, he doesn't. Just believe in him. That's it. If you believe in me and the works that I do have been doing, you will do even greater things. Jesus says this. You will do the same works he did. Wow at that. To just do the same works that Jesus did. Can you say wow? Right? He says then you will even do greater works than he did. Can you say wow, wow? It's wow to do the works that Jesus did. It's somehow even greater. Wow, wow. To do even greater than he did. But did Jesus say that? He said it. Is he a liar? No, he's not. He is the truth, y'all. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You got to be acquainted with this verse. It says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You will do immeasurably greater things. How much greater? You can't even measure it. It just doesn't make sense. There's no measure for the supernatural power of God. It's immeasurably greater. Greater than all you can ask. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at asking. My kids are really good at asking. Guess what? Everything you ask of God, he will do immeasurably greater than that. Move on. Greater than all you can imagine. Everything you think. Can you imagine some pretty big things? Can you think some big things? Does the Bible say that he will do greater than all you think, that all you can imagine? Is this amazing or what? It almost sounds too good to be true. You almost feel like, man, there's a used car salesman somewhere. He's going to sucker me into something. No, it is not that at all. This is absolutely true. It's available to you. He loves you. He wants this for you. It's yours. Do you want it? My goodness. If this were, you know, a used car salesman or one of those things where they trick you into coming into buy something, you know, like, oh, it's a free experience, and then but you have to go through this seminar, right, where they try to sell you on something for several hours and beat you down. That's not what this is. We're not taking up offering after this, and when you give $30 today, we're going to give you a special prayer cloth that gives you all these things. No, these things are already yours. I can't give them to you because God has already given them to you. They are already promised to you. Everything that he gives is immeasurably greater, more than you can ask, more than you can imagine. And here's what's really exciting. But just wait for three easy payments. No. Listen, it is all according to a power that is far off. Now see, here's where Hollywood doesn't understand God's kingdom, Jeremy. Because this is every Hollywood fantasy movie. It's all according to a power that is far off. It's hidden in a deep, dark cavern that in order to gain, you must answer four unanswerable riddles and also collect the 12 sacred horcruxes. After carrying the ring of power to Mount Doom Volcano, then and only then, after this long, tedious journey, if you survive, can the power be yours. Is that every fantasy movie? There's this great power and it's so far away. Only the one chosen person can have this power, 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 power. Is that how Hollywood works? Is that how all the novels work? I want you to know how Jesus works. He says the power is not somewhere far off. I'm going to put the power right inside of you. The power is not somewhere far off that you have to be big enough, strong enough, great enough, wise enough. have to defeat some weird serpent, lizard, woman? No. God gives the power. He gives it to you, and he doesn't charge you a thing. That's the God we serve. The power's not hidden. The power's not far away. And the power is not for a select few. The greater power is available to all who believe. And he places this greater power, the greatest power, within you. You want that power? I think we ought to want that power. I think we should stop settling for lesser things, and we should get a hold of that kind of power. We ought to. There is a power available to you that is far greater than the world's hierarchy. Have you been searching for greater, or have you been settling for lesser? I love little interactions with Jesus in the Bible. And I'm going to share one with you that I just love. It's just so amazing. Jesus meets someone for the first time. Would you like to know that interaction? What's that look like? Jesus meets somebody for the first time. Well, Jesus met a man named Philip. And Philip had a brother. Philip runs off to find his brother. That brother's name is Nathaniel. And he tells Nathaniel about Jesus. And now Nathaniel is walking towards Jesus. And as he's walking towards him, Jesus calls out his name. Now, this is before they're introduced. Jesus just calls out Nathaniel's name. Hey, Nathaniel. Like he knew it. Now let's read John chapter 1, beginning at verse 48. How do you know me? Nathaniel said. How do you know me? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, this is so simple. Next verse, 49. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. I just love this interaction. Here's something I want to point out to you. There's so much good stuff here, but right here. Nathaniel was so quick to believe. No one told him, hey, this guy, he's the King of Israel. This guy, he's the Son of God. This guy, he's a great rabbi. No, it like was inside of him, and he just believed it. He just said it. Not only did he believe it, he declared it. Now, can I talk to you real quick? It is so powerful to believe, but a lot of people stop right there at believing. Have you ever just believed something in your heart? You have that's something Hollywood talks about all the time. You just got to believe in your heart. Just believe in your heart. No, friend, believing in your heart is the first step. But that belief in your heart has got to call you to a place where you declare it, to a place where you activate your faith. And because you believe, then you start doing things. You don't just sit in a chair at a church service and go, I believe. No, you stand up on your feet and you worship God like you believe. You pray like you believe. You obey the word like you believe. Do you follow me? Is that some good preaching? Is that okay? I'm telling you that today, all over this Metroplex, people came to faith. They came to just believing, and people clapped, and then they said, well done, that's all you got to do. And that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong, because you not only need to believe, but that belief needs to take you somewhere. I got to ask you, do you believe? Well, number two, are you declaring that belief? Nathaniel did. Nathaniel believed, and immediately he declared it. I just love the beauty of that, the simplicity of that, the childlike faith of that. I wish we had a church that we just believe so easily and we declare it so quickly. Could we be that church? Could we be just a church of Nathaniels meeting Jesus for the... It's like first sentence, how did you know my name? I saw you under the tree. You are the Son of God. We ought to have sermons like that where somebody walks in, I just don't know if God loves me. God loves you so much that he gave his only son. Altar filled. That's what church ought to be like. Do you see that? Oh, Lord, let us be a Nathaniel. Don't just send us a Nathaniel. Turn me into a Nathaniel. I want to then point this out to you. Nathaniel didn't ask a million questions. He didn't try to figure it all out. We do this, don't we? We feel God's presence. We hear his word. We read something in the Bible. And then we go, huh, I wonder if that was God. God, if that's really you. You know, we have this inner dialogue. You know what? I think maybe God's in this place. But if he really is in this place, I want Adrienne to just take off her hat like this, then put it back on, and then take it off, and then turn around and look at me. And then I'm going to know God's really in this place. I've done that. Not about Adrienne and her hat. But I remember as a kid being in a church and going, my goodness, I want to stand up and worship. Man, I want to go pray. I want to go do that. But you know what? I just don't know if I'm supposed to. I just don't know if all of this is real. You know what? I will do it if someone else goes first. If someone else stands up first, then I'll stand up. Raise your hand if you've ever done that stuff. Have you ever done that? I really want to follow after God, but you know, I just don't know if this is really God's will for me to follow after God. Like, that makes any sense. Nathaniel would be like, what are you even talking about? He might wake up, right? But that's what we do. But Nathaniel didn't do that. Nathaniel didn't ask all these questions. He just believed and he declared, and there wasn't even like a breath between it. It's beautiful. Nathaniel believes. Nathaniel declares his belief. In a few moments, we're going to have a time of talking to God, and I'm going to invite you to believe in this place, and I'm going to invite you to declare your belief by leaving your chair and coming to talk to God. I'm just going to ask you to do that. And in a few moments, I want you to do that. I want you to do it because you believe and that you're ready to declare your belief and come talk to God. Because of Nathaniel's belief and declaration, Jesus marvels. It's hard sometimes to read words and really understand everything that goes in them. But I got to feel like Jesus kind of marvels at him. He says, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree. I believe that he had to marvel over that. I mean, believe there's marvel attached to those words. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wow. I believe Jesus still marvels. Wow, you believe just a simple sermon and you gave your life to me. I believe God still marvels when, wow, they just started singing that song and that person just plugged into my presence like never before. It was so beautiful. Well, you think God still marvels at that? I'm telling you, you could marvel heaven today. Believe and be quick to declare. You believe because I told you. Stop right there. You believe because I told you. You believe because I told you. Then here's what I told you. I saw you under the fig tree. And then he says, you will see greater things than that. Can you just believe today because Jesus told you? I want to tell you that Nathaniel did see greater things than that, didn't he? Nathaniel saw Lazarus raised from the dead. Nathaniel saw blind men healed and lepers cleansed. Nathaniel fed people from a basket of bread and fish that never ran out of its supply. Nathaniel cast demons out of people and saw people delivered. Nathaniel laid his hands on people and saw them healed. Nathaniel saw a resurrected Jesus stand before him. He saw this Jesus then ascend into the clouds. Nathaniel waited in Jerusalem for the promise because Jesus spoke of it. He just told him to wait, so he waited. And then he saw the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, come into that room and light up everybody in that room. And now that Spirit was living inside of him, and it was greater than anything he had ever experienced. I want to tell you, Nathaniel could testify. He could testify that the one inside you is greater than the one inside the world. Nathaniel could testify that if you walk with God, he will indeed fight your battles and give you every location that you set your foot. Nathaniel could testify that you can do all things through him that gives you strength. Nathaniel, he would take this microphone and he would testify that you can do immeasurably more than all that's asked, all that's imagined, and it's all according to a power that God has placed within you. And it all started because Jesus told him. Do you believe what Jesus has told you today? You believe it? You believe that greater is ahead of you? Oh, man, we've only scratched the surface of the Bible that talks about the greater things. We haven't even talked about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nathaniel's going to be there, too. And he's going to be saying, whoa, this is greater than anything I've ever seen. I guarantee you. We're about to talk to God. I want to focus you before I invite you. Can I focus you? I want you to come today because you're tired of lesser things. If that's you, I want you to come. I want you to come today because you're tired of the hierarchy. You're tired of being ranked by this world system. I want you to come today because you really believe Jesus will meet you here. I want you to believe that he is actually standing here with greater for you. I want you to come today because you have not been experiencing greater and you're ready for miracles. You're ready for power. You're ready for promise through God's Holy Spirit. I want you to come today because you want God's Holy Spirit inside of you like it was inside of Nathaniel in Acts chapter 2. I want you to come today because you are like Nathaniel. You simply believe what Jesus said, and now you're ready to declare it. As you come, I want you to declare that God is greater. Maybe with every step, it's a declaration that God is greater than everything you're leaving behind you. Come right now. These altars are open. It's time to talk to the Lord in this place. If you need a greater miracle in your life, I want you in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God with you. We're going to speak truth over you. If you don't need that, don't come in the first 2 feet. That's not a big deal. But come, I want you to declare with your footsteps today that you believe in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for everybody in the room. I thank you for everybody watching, listening online. Right where they are, God, you're in the room with them. Friend, go ahead and make a move towards God. It's okay to lift your hands right now as you're watching this podcast and just surrender your life to him. Tell him, God, you're greater. Jesus, you're greater. And I want you inside my heart. I want your spirit inside of me. I want greater in my life, Jesus. I'm tired of lesser things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Let's reach out to God. Let's get serious. He's got bigger things. He's got better things for you right now in the name of Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.